Today is December 18th, one of the last sermons of 2011. I'm going to talk about God's provision for us on the back of your bulletin from Revelation chapter 3. And then I'm going to go over the mission and budget report. And there's that sheet that falls out of your bulletin that has a whole bunch of numbers on it. And I'll talk to you about every one of those numbers. If you can just leave that folded up for just a couple of minutes and focus with me on the scriptures, then I will walk through line by line every one of those numbers and give you a chance to talk about any of them, and I'll explain that all to you. So, will you help me is something that I don't ask for a lot. I've had a struggle all my life in asking for help. I always think that I can figure out how to do it or I can do it by myself, but there's a lot of things that I could use help with. As I was trying to figure out Howard's soundboard this morning, I'd really like it if there were people that were here early in the morning and just do all of that so that I'm not sitting there trying to figure out how to do those buttons. But there's lots of things like that in my life that I need help with. And one of the things that I'd like you to help me with today is to examine our lives in the light of what we're reading in Revelations as you're reading through the Bible with me, and then help me consider what God would have for us, for me, for you. So, here's the outline. Do you hear what the Spirit's saying? Are your deeds hot or cold? Or actually, it says cold or hot. Do you need anything? I don't need a thing. And what do you hear? And so I'm going to kind of breeze through this, and then we'll do the budget. So, if you're reading along in the Bible, and all of a sudden, the print goes from black to red, what does that mean? It means it's literally words that Jesus himself spoke. And there's lots of inspired scripture where the Holy Spirit talked to Jonah, and he recorded his fish trip that we read this morning. And there's exciting things in Revelations 9 we'll read this afternoon about amazing events that are yet to come where they unlock the abyss and fire and smoke and things happen. But when you're reading along and the Bible actually has red letter print, that's something that Jesus verbally said. So when you look with me at this passage of Revelations 3, 13 through 22 in your Bible, it is in red letter print. And Jesus himself says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, or it could be just as well Kalita, write, these are the words of the Amen, faithful, true witness, ruler of God's creation. So here's Jesus talking, and he's introducing himself, saying, this is me, the faithful witness, the ruler of all God's creation. So Jesus is speaking, and he says, I know your deeds, that they are neither cold nor hot. I wish that they were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Now at my house, there is a reverse osmosis machine that sits underneath the kitchen cupboard. And in the summertime, when the air conditioning is running, the storage unit is ice cold because there's a heat and cool duct that blows right underneath of there. But in the wintertime, the storage tank is not cool when the heat is running. When you get water out of the reverse osmosis, it's lukewarm. You know, I go down there first thing in the morning and slam one of the, 10 ounces of water, and it's not cold. It's lukewarm. It's not fun. In Laodicea, they were a very, very rich city, and they had several things that they did. Banking, they had a medical facility there, and they had a large commercial clothing industry. Well, one of the problems in Laodicea was water. And not far from town was a hot spring. So they decided, let's build an aqueduct and we'll funnel this hot water to the city and we'll have hot springs. Well, when it got to town, it wasn't hot and it wasn't cold. It was like my reverse osmosis in the winter. So when Jesus is speaking to the church, he's using real life experiences with Laodicea. Because they didn't have track hose in those days. They had hand labor to build aqueducts. And so it was a lot of work and a lot of investment. When they got there, it was lukewarm. So he was using real life things to talk to them. Now go on, the Bible says, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth. I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. So here again, Jesus is using real life stuff. The medical hospital, that training hospital that they had in Laodicea, one of their great discoveries was this salve to put on your eyes to heal issues. That was one of their big market commodities. And the other thing, they sold very colorful clothes. So Jesus, again, is using real-life stuff with them that they could relate to. And it goes on to say, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Now, several people looked at me when I took that picture off of the wall in the back because Howard and I are going to cut a hole in the wall where that is and moved it up here to the front. And probably a number of you have seen that picture. It says on the plaque that it's been here since I was 3 years old. And as you look at that, Jesus is knocking on this beautiful door with no doorknob on it. You can't open that door from the outside. It can only be opened from the inside. He knocks at the door and he wants to come in and eat with you. I'm going to have family over tonight, celebrate Christmas with my family. And my little brother's cooking a prime rib. And we're going to sit around the table and eat. And Jesus wants you to have that type of relationship with him. That you invite him in and you sit down and have a meal together. He wants to eat with you. He wants to dine with you. He wants to commune with you. Now, the scripture goes on to say, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, on your outline, what do you hear the Spirit is saying? Jesus himself, not a prophet, not a preacher, says, listen. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do with what he's saying? If he says it two times to you in the same passage, what does that mean to you? In biblical standards, you would tell somebody once, and the second time that you told them, there would be discipline and correction. When I was raising my children, I thought the three-strike rule would be a good thing. Three strikes, you're out. And then Julie and I became born-again believers, and we started looking at the scriptures and decided, no, you can tell them once, but the second time, there's going to be discipline. There's going to be something take place. It is not supposed to be where parents again and again and again and again and again and again tell their children thing. They should tell them once, and the second time there should be a corrective action. It's not good for the children for them to be allowed to be rebellious and disobedient. And Jesus is saying it once, but the second time He's saying there's going to be some discipline. There's going to be some correction to those whom I love. Now, what about you? What are you going to do? Whoever has ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So, are your deeds cold or hot? Let's start with the heart. Write down on that page, describe your devotion to God. Would you call it cold or hot? Now, if I don't mess up really bad, Tuesday I'm going to be married to Julie for 41 years. There's been a number of changes in the devotion to each other in 41 years. It doesn't stay the same. Marriage is an ongoing process. But what about your devotion to God? How would you describe it? Cold? He's outside? Hot? You're inviting him in. You're talking to him at every meal. You're integrated with him. You're passionately in love with him. You're diligently working on a consistent pattern of thankfulness and grace and humility and expression of his love in your life. So how would you describe your heart? How about your personal efforts to extend God's kingdom? How's that looking for you? You've got, 2 weeks left in the year? It's about the time of the year that you should start looking at the year 2011 and get your yellow pad out, like mine on the front pew, and begin writing down and analyzing and looking at how am I doing with my devotion to God. Am I hearing from Him? Am I integrating with Him? Am I inviting Him in? I'm seeking Him regularly. I'm diligently reading His Scriptures. I have a new Bible plan that I'm going to present to you. I haven't made the copies of it yet, but next year I'm going to offer you. You can either read the Gideons like we've done for several years, or this new one. You'll read through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice in a year. Upping it one whole time through the New Testament. How about you? What are you doing in your personal life? And what are you doing to extend the kingdom? Are you like me that you could probably use a little help with this? If you honestly sit and look at your life, you realize you could probably use a little bit more Jesus through the door. You like me? When you analyze for the year, you're honestly, consciously aware of the fact, I can do better than that. My devotion to Him, I can do better at that. My extending His kingdom, I can do better at that. Now, when you get to the end of this passage, he explains how you can get some help, and we'll get there. So, I don't need a thing. How many of you ask someone, what do you want for Christmas? Anybody do that? How many of you got that? They say, I don't need a thing. Did anybody else get that response back? Did you give that response? If you got or gave that response, you're living in Laodicea. That's the gig. If you're living with the mentality, I don't need a thing, I'm good, that's the problem that Laodicea had. You don't realize that you're poor, wretched, blind, and naked because you got a job, you got clothes to wear, your heat's on, Commonwealth Edison is keeping the lights going. I'm good. You don't realize that in the spiritual sense, you've got issues. Here's what Jesus says. I counseled you to buy from me gold refined in fire so you can become rich and white clothes to wear and cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Most people don't see in our culture, in our community, in our church, that because they got all their needs met and they're self-sufficient, that they need to have their eyes open. So, how do you do that kind of shopping? I mean, it's shopping season. Yesterday was Super Saturday or Sanctified Saturday or spend Saturday. It was like back Black Friday on Saturday, you know. I was at Farm and Fleet, and I was amazed at how many of the farmers were out there spending money on Saturday. But shopping. How do you do the kind of shopping that Jesus is talking about? Where you buy this refined gold, this white clothes. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. If you don't sense in your life God dealing with you in rebuking the sins and discipline in your life, you're in worse shape than some of us who understand that God is setting parts of me on fire at times to get my attention, or making things hurt in ways, or allowing Julie to experience some things that are really causing me to seek Him in definitely deep ways. So, be earnest and repent. Be honest and be repentive. You're coming to the end of the year. Let's clean the thing up and let's do better next year. Now, so the cost is not cheap. Are you, quite honestly, am I willing to repent of our sin of self-sufficiency and ask Jesus to help us and then trust Jesus, His Father, and listen to the Holy Spirit? See, I wrote one long sentence that I really think is the answer to repentance. And the problem is our self-sufficiency. I don't need a thing. When I told you up front, asking for help is hard for me. Why? Because I don't think I need any help. I think I can figure it out myself. But I can't. But I think I can. I'm deceived, and I need to repent. I need help from Jesus. And I need a deeper relationship with His Father. And I need to listen up to His Holy Spirit sooner. How about you? Are you willing? You know, I'm kind of like the little drummer boy. I really don't have anything to offer the guy. All I can offer him is what I got. And that isn't a whole lot. But are you willing with me? Now, to the one who is victorious, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne. So when Jesus was here, life wasn't easy for Him, and the end wasn't pleasant. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at being in conflict. And if you're not in conflict with what's going on in the world, especially around this Christmas season, if you're not in conflict with what they're doing with the celebration of Jesus' birthday, and you can celebrate Jesus' birthday on any day you want, and I'm not sure that we're celebrating it on the right day, but it's not about this other stuff. It's not about Black Friday or Happy Thursday or Successful Saturday. It's not about commerce. There should be a conflict within you when all of this stuff is intruding in on God's Son's birth. Now, the only way to win is to be one with God. And that is an intentional decision to trust and depend on Him moment by moment. That's another one of those short, succinct phrases that I sit and thought about a lot. That's the answer. Being one. You may sit down today and watch a football team play. When they all are together on the same sheet of music and they're doing what they're supposed to do, everybody's doing their part, and they're all playing as one team, it's fun to watch. But when you got people that are being independent and not thinking, like team thinking, it's not as fun. You have to make an intentional decision to trust God and depend on Him moment by moment. Really, millisecond by millisecond. But when I talk about milliseconds, people say, what? Moment by moment, hour by hour, you need to be intentional about this decision. So, What do you hear the Spirit saying? Are you cold or hot? I don't need anything. So, what do you hear? Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And He does that all the time. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I'll come in, eat with that person, and they with me. So, are you going to invite Him in? What are you going to do as the year winds down, as this day winds down? That is God's provision for us, is Jesus. And opening the door, letting Him in, second by second, millisecond by millisecond, minute by minute, hour by hour, trusting, dependent on Him, instead of the culture that we live in that's self-sufficient. I don't need anything. I don't need anybody type thinking. That's not godly. That's not biblical. Repent. Change. Okay, that's the end of the sermon. Now you get to open that big sheet of paper that says Mission and Budget for 2012. And I want to start out by thanking Lori Hubbard for all of her diligent work for us. Day in, day out, week in, week out, Lori does a magnificent job of cranking the books. And, you know, getting after me for not having my receipts in order and saying, no, we can't do that, or where are we going to get the money for this, and making it all balance. She does an amazing job at a really hard job. And so I want to thank her up front for all of the work that she does. She does a lot through the year that we never say thanks. So thank you, ma'am. Now, here's the mission and budget. On the left side is what we did in 11, and on the right side is what we're going to do in 12. And I started with missions, and Adeline Christian Camp is on top. Last year, we budgeted $500 for camper scholarships, and we spent just about all of that. So we budgeted that again for next year. And then we didn't put anything for their general fund last year. But if you look all the way at the bottom left-hand column, you'll see that we spent a little over $5,000 for new mattresses for camp. So this year, what we did is we put $5,000 in for the general fund. And when the insurance bill comes for Camp Adeline, we're going to pay it with that $5,000. It won't come till fall. How many of you realize that Camp or Adeline Christian Camp is in our 501c3? All of you raise your hand that understand that we have a camp technically that's a part of us, and practically because the members of the board are almost all from our church, we have a ruling part of it. It's a separate entity, has its own treasurer, has it. Well, it had its own money. Now it's going to have money again. But it has its own account and everything. But that's a part of our 501c3. Several years ago, Bishop asked me to divide up Rock River Conference. And when we did that, I said, which one of the churches wants to put the camp into their 501c3? And we were the only ones who volunteered. So we technically have another church and another camp. It's a part of what we do as our ministry. And this year, we're going to set aside $5,000 to pay the insurance on that. So, Chad Tokey was one of our missionaries, and we decided to give Chad a pay increase. He went from 24 to 36, and he just got us a $30,000 grant. So, you know, he's earning his oats, so to speak. We've set aside $500 for Vacation Bible School, and we did that again this year. This year, Vacation Bible School will be at our church because we have a kitchen. So last year, you know, on the bottom line there, it said our missions were 34, which really, if you add the $5,000 for the mattresses, was really more like 84. And next year, we're budgeting 96. And what we're trying to do is take all those expenditures and put them into a budget so that we know ahead of time and there isn't any surprises with that. But that's our local missions giving. Then we have world missions, and it's the same format. Left side is what we did last year. Miriam is doing a great job in India. When I talked to the people in Huntington about, she's well-funded. She has a hospital for AIDS orphans, and we could take the $90,000 that we have and throw it into there, and it'd just be a bottomless pit. There is so much problem with AIDS around the world, and Miriam's hospital could just use a ton of money. Chelsea came last year and talked to us. Now, she's one of those ones that really doesn't fit into a budget real well. If you look at hers, you'll see the red numbers. We actually wrote her a check in last year, but most of it is for next year. And it was the same way a year before. She came in that same month and said, and we gave her money. So we budgeted it for next year, although we already wrote the check last year. But to show up, and it would be nice if she could talk to us in a little further ahead, but that's the way it worked. Jana Hubler is now a English teacher, and she works for the Republic of China. She actually works for the communists. So she has a job, and she contacted us last year and said, don't send mission money. I'm actually working for a living. And I talked to Huntington, and she's got a really nice trust set up. So we last year had said we were going to give her $2,400 that we didn't do. So this year when Katie Rogers came, soon to be Katie Hubbard, we said, well, let's invest in her. So both Chelsea and Katie work for the same missionary group, the Campus Crusade for Life people. But we're going to take on her, take on Katie as a missionary for 24. In Haiti, last year we had three children. And next year, we're presenting to you to take on more, have five children. Deb's on her way to Florida. She's actually doing some on-the-ground research for us as far as she's got people in Port-au-Prince that are backdooring the ministry. Everything she's hearing firsthand from them is this is a really good ministry, this Christian Global group. But she's actually going to do some backdoor investigation to make sure that what we're sending gets to those people. And Deb has people on the ground in Port-au-Prince that's going to do that for us. So last year our mission giving to world mission was 49, and next year it's 94. My dyslexia looks like we just transposed those. But we're going to give more money to missions. And part of that we intended to give to Jana, we just didn't get to. So that's what your missions budget looks like. So does anybody have any questions on missions giving before I go into our operating budget? Does all that make sense to you so far? Okay. So here's our totals then for missions giving. When you add those all up, this is what it looks like. Next year, we're going to give $19,000 away to missions. Now, that money's in the bank. When we get to the bottom of your page, you're going to see that in our three missions bank accounts, we have $23,000 in the bank. And here's how it works. We'll write those missionaries checks with a note, this is your income for the year. Disperse it however you want. But we have the money in the bank to do that. And there's going to be money left in the bank that if we get a missionary that comes here and we believe God's saying, we want you to invest in them, we've got the money in the bank and we write them a check. It's not that we got to scurry around and gather pennies and take them to the bank and cash them in for real money. We put that money in the bank ahead of time. We give it to them at the beginning of the year. And then we save it up so that next year we can do the same thing. We give to our denomination in Huntington 3.5% of our income, 3.5% of our income after deductions. And deductions are like investments we make in the property. And there are some things that we don't pay that 3.5% on, but I don't have to get into all the technical. The bottom line is Last year we gave them $2,000. Next year, because we're expecting more income, we'll give them a little bit more because the 3.5% will go up. So those are kind of the totals of what we're looking at doing. Now here's your operating budget. We have $500 that we allotted last year for Sunday school materials and books, and we're going to do that next year. CCLI is Comprehensive Copyright License Insurance. Comprehensive Copyright License Insurance. And what that is money that we pay a legal system so that I can put those words of the songs up there on there, make copies of things. We set $350 apart for conferences and seminars. We're going to pay Commonwealth Edison probably another $2,500 next year. And we were really close to that. Gifts and flowers, we didn't spend as much of that as we'd like to, but we allotted that. Most everything in our budget we came really close at. Our insurance for the property is $2,750, and we anticipate that being the same. The cleaning of the place, that's $2,600, and that's going to stay the same. LP gas is one of the things that's in blue. LP gas, it's just, you know, gas prices went up. So we threw another $1,000 in there for next year. Maintenance and equipment. We're working on the sound system and expecting to replace some things. So we continually budget money towards that so that when things break, we have the money to fix them. It's kind of like Dave is saying in Sunday school, you set that money away. So miscellaneous, we have $700. Mowing is the same. Office supplies are the same. We put $1,500 into a parsonage fund every year, and we're banking that away because the gray roof over there is going to need to end up brown one of these days. So we just keep throwing money into the bank so that when we need to replace the roof, we're saving $1,500 every year towards that. So it's ready. It's in the bank when we need to do it. We don't have to scurry around at the last minute. Phone, that's what it costs for the phones out here. If I'm not here or if we have a guest speaker, there's $600 for that. We have a on-demand new water softener that Howard and I put in the parsonage that takes care of the parsonage in the church, and that's the salt to take care of that. Special events money is something we didn't spend this past year, and we left that the same. And our youth money we didn't spend, which is a sad reality to have those things in the budget and not spend them. But we didn't. But we put them back in there next year the same. This is part of my employment package that I pay about $7,000 in self-employment tax. And the church pays part of that. Last year it was $32, but we budget $35. If you ever wondered what it cost to live in the place that you came to the Christmas party, that's what it costs to live on the hill. $14,000 is what it costs to live out there where I live. And this is my salary, 25. I did get a 3% pay increase, and Julie and I were really happy about that last April Fool's Day. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do for April Fool's Day this year since it's on a Sunday. But that was an increase in my salary, and Jules and I were really happy for that, about $769. Now, part of that what took place last year, so you see that on the bottom left-hand of your budget, that I did get more than 25, but we budgeted 25, so I left the budget alone, but I told you on the bottom. And so here's your totals for your budget. Operating last year was 70. And this next year it'll be 72. So your grand total with your mission giving and operating budget last year was 79. This year it's going to be 91. Here's what you got in the bank. Last year in our three mission funds we had $20,000. This year we're a little over $23,000. And that's where we'll write those checks out for the missionaries. And we'll just, Lori will give them to them. They'll have them by the first of the year. Last year, the Christian Fund had 15. We still got $11,000, so we got plenty of money to finish that. Hope to start digging around the foundation this week and solve a leak problem. Specialize is going to help us with that. They're going to do the work, but we provide the materials, and that'll come out of that 11 grand. Memorial money, we had 15, now we got 37. Checkbook last year had 6 grand. This year it's got 10 grand. So the total last year was 47. The total at the end of November this year is 48. So we're in a little better shape financially with money in the bank. But that's your savings, your CDs, your money markets. So in 11, we needed $6,646. I got a 3% pay increase, woohoo, and that ended up $577 extra that was on my paycheck from April until the end of the year. Then next year, that pay increase will show up. Adeline, there's the mattresses, 72 Campers mattresses that are spiffy new, and we gave to the India orphans over $500. So last year we had $5,575 that was above budget giving. Next year we tried to put those things into the budget so we were a little better organized. So in 11, your average income over 11 months was $7,306. And your average income need for next year at that operating budget and mission budget is $700. So it's about $300 a month we're going to need in increased revenues. So the India Orphans Project, we're gathering for that. So here's the totals, and I'm just about done. The operating budget last year, here's what we're doing. We're going to give 19 grand to missions. We're going to give probably 22 to the denomination. We're going to give that to the orphans, the 480. So we're going to give away $21,680. That's about a little over 24% of our gross income goes back out in mission givings. So how do you think we're doing? In comparison to your house, at your house, are you given anywhere near the 25% that the Bible says that we should? The church is getting closer, and I'm happy with that. I'd eventually like us to be a 50-50 split. It take 50% of the income to operate us, and we're given 50% of it away to missions in the kingdom. But for this year, we'll present this one to you, that we're going to give 24% of our income to missionaries and missions around the globe. So if you have questions about any of those line items, I'll be glad to sit down with you over snacks before we go caroling. But that's that. So let me thank the Lord for that. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the skill set of the people in our church that can help me to put together a budget in such a way that we can explain it to people. We thank you for your tremendous giving to us, and that our church is noted for its giving. And we hope that someday we can give more to your kingdom and more to the work of your kingdom around the world, not just through our doors here. But humbly, we thank you for what we can do. Humbly, we thank you for what you have done in our lives. And we pray that we would open up more and more to you, Lord Jesus, and not just the door to come in and eat, but we would open up our wallet and our CDs and our money markets and our checkbook and our cash flow. We would open to you in a real practical sense. We thank you so much for the unity and the harmony and the board as we look through this budget. We pray that that would continually be the case, that even in the thing that causes a lot of churches a lot of problems, the money, we could stay in unity and harmony because of your life within us and your love surrounding us. We thank you for that deeply. In Jesus' name, amen.